Okay. You truly, I guess most of us wouldn't have too much trouble coming up with an answer. A new relationship, better health, a more enjoyable job, maybe better financial security. But are any of those things it? Do any of those things bring true joy? God's angel came to some unsuspecting shepherds one night with this attention-grabbing message. I bring you good news of great joy. But what news had the capacity to bring great joy? This is the season of joy. It said, joy. It's a time when we sing joy to the world. And today we lit the candle of joy. Now, the candle of joy behind me is the odd one out glowing. It's the only pink candle amongst three red. And if you know nothing of church tradition, it doesn't take too much to know that today is a very special day in the church calendar. Today's candle is pink because of joy. And to give you the briefest of history lessons, the colour goes back to a single pink rose during the season of Lent before the reformation of the church. And during the season of Lent that was traditionally marked with fasting, the early church singled out one Sunday to feast and celebrate the coming joy of Easter. And on that day, the Pope would give out a single pink rose to honour an outstanding citizen. Clergy even began to wear vestments and decorate the church in pink to mark that day. Well, here we are, post-Reformation. We have lost the seven candles of Lent, but we've gained the four candles of Advent. And amidst the candles you see is a single pink candle, the candle of joy. But now I ask you, what is joy? What is joy? This could really be a hard question to answer. I mean, there can be so many different things that bring us joy. The TV is full of hundreds of different shopping ideas, each one guaranteed to bring joy. Get a new car wrapped in a big red bow. Get that diamond necklace and earring set. Or get that shiny new smartphone. And then, of course, there's the joy of family. The joy of a job well done. I could go on. I guess if we're going to get anywhere, though, I must ask, why on earth is that? Well, now that we know the historical reason, what's the It's not pink or jewellery or electronics or family or joy. Is there such a thing as Christian joy? Let me share with you a personal experience. As many here will know, my wife Anne suffers from residential care. But while I cared for her at home, we would come here just about every Sunday. one Sunday morning when we were singing, Anne turned around to face those behind her with a beaming smile as she sang a familiar hymn. And she proceeded to sing her heart out to those behind her. To my shame, I tried to turn her around. She wouldn't. But after her third attempt, she eventually complied. At the end of the service, a lady who had been sitting behind us approached me with tears in her eyes to say that she had just witnessed the most joyful worship she had. And I tried to put a stop to it. You see, church is not always thought of as a place where heaviest burdens to lay down at the foot of the cross. You can practically see the weight on their shoulders. So how could we even possibly think of grinning with joy when potentially the person next to us is on the verge of tears? On any given Sunday, we could have a chippy visiting us in the greatest distress, needing comfort and guidance. What's a chippy, I hear you ask? Well, let me introduce you to a small parakeet by the name of Chippy. It all began when Chippy's owner decided to clean out his cage with a vacuum. And she stuck the nozzle into the cage to clean up the bottom of the cage when suddenly the phone rang. She reached for the phone with her free hand, and not realising it, her hand holding the nozzle slowly rose upward and sucked Chippy into the vacuum cleaner. Realising what she had done, she dropped the phone and turned off the vacuum. With her heart in her mouth, she opened the vacuum bag to rescue poor Chippy. Chippy, of course, was stunned and covered head to foot with grey dust. But thankfully, he was still alive. She grabbed him and rushed him to the bath, turned on the cold water full blast, and held him under the water, giving him a power wash. Then it dawned on her that Chippy was soaking wet and shivering. So she did what any compassionate pet owner would do. She snatched up the hairdryer and blasted him with hot air. Now you may be wondering if Chippy survived all of this. Well, I'm delighted to tell you that he did. But he did not sing for a long time after that. Even now, he mostly just sits there in his cage eyeing the cupboard where the vacuum cleaner is kept. Being sucked up, washed out, and blown over had stolen the joy from his heart. Can you blame him? One could easily understand why Chippy doesn't have much joy. And sadly, this is where many people are today. They're lost, they're troubled, they're sad, they're fearful, they're maybe devastated, but anything but joyful. And they come to church very often seeking answers. I want to just read you that first verse that Paul wrote that Lorimer read to us from Philippians chapter 4. This is what Paul says. Always be full of joy in the Lord. Again I say, rejoice. Now, Paul was a chippy. When he wrote these words, he had been stripped of everything, locked in a cold, dark and wet prison cell, and he had been sentenced to die. And he sits down to write to his friends at Philippi. He says, yep, I'm in prison again. And this time, sentenced to die. Oh, and by the way, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, I don't know about you, I just feel better. Paul is definitely having a chippy moment, and he responds by writing this letter. A letter, short letter, four chapters long. But he manages to make Paul's having the epitome of a chippy moment, and he mentions joy 10 times. How can he say that? Has he lost it? Wouldn't it be just stupid to go up to somebody who's having a chippy moment and say, rejoice in the Lord always? How in earth can Paul write about joy? He doesn't have anything to be joyful about. His life is on the line. He's cold, he's wet, he's presumably tired. He has no freedom. He has no shiny new car. He has not taken the opportunity to get that earring and necklace set. He doesn't have a smartphone to occupy his time. He's parted from family and friends and cannot take a single bit of joy from a job well done because, well, being in prison has put a bit of a damper on his travelling ministry. And yet, over and over and over again, in this letter, Paul brings up joy. Somehow, he got it into his head that you don't need all that stuff to have joy. Even his earthly life being in jeopardy could not part him from joy. You see, when you read Paul's letter to the Philippians, you begin to see a pattern. For Paul, joy does not come from this world. It comes from God. Our God is the giver of true joy. Our God is the great comforter. Our God is the giver of a peace that transcends all understanding. And it doesn't come from something you can buy. It comes from something freely given. You see, Paul's greatest joy was his assurance from God. He knew that nothing could separate him from the love of God in Jesus Christ. And we as Christians today, we have that same joy. The candle is not pink for any earthly reason. It's pink for a dear heavenly. It is the great joy of the coming of Jesus Christ. And as Christmas Day approaches and we journey closer and closer to Bethlehem, we're reminded of what awaits us when we get there. A saviour who brings us something that no one else can get. No one else can get. True joy. And that's why Paul can write, rejoice in the Lord always. So yes, the church can be and should be a place of joy, because of what Christmas is really, really about. True joy cannot be packaged and wrapped and put under a tree. they can only be found in a manger, and it awaits there for you.